Our scripture reading is found in our bulletins, Colossians 1, 24 through 29. I ask you to stand together as we read God's word, and we'll read this in unison together. And then right across the page, we'll then sing the hymn, A Triune Prayer. Colossians 1, 24 through 29, reading together in unison.
I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. To him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily.
And this is God's word.
I was going to come up and ask you to open up to 1 Samuel, but since Pastor Dave gave it away, we're back in Ephesians. We're in Ephesians. And we will, Lord willing, finish up the book of Ephesians here this month. I was thinking about what, since Pastor has given the green light to preach the next few weeks and to finish up the book, I was thinking, what is it that's going to hinder us finishing Ephesians? One is Christ's return, and I'm all right with that. Hope you are too. And secondly, Christ doesn't return, but God just takes me home. I'm okay with that. My family might not be most days, but still works out for me. And thirdly, Pastor asked for the pulpit back. And I'm not okay with that. But I would submit. And but until then, we are going to spend some time here in Ephesians finishing up. It has been 5 years. June 1st, 5 years ago, was our first day here at Sunrise. And so it's been 5 years since we've come. 5 years that I've been preaching in the book of Ephesians, 5 years you've been listening to me, most of you, and putting up with me. And as I was reminded by one of our dear saints the other day, Ephesians again. And so we're just about to the end of that. And but I look forward to what the Lord has for us in the next couple of weeks as we finish up here. Ephesians 6, a few weeks ago, as mentioned, that 1 week that he mentioned he was gone, was around the beginning of prayer week, I believe, and I preached a message from Ephesians 6 on prayer, and actually the first half of a message, and now I'm going to preach the second half of that message. I don't expect any of you to remember the first half. I went back and reminded myself what I preached in the first half, but we are going to preach the second half of that. And really, as we think about prayer, the idea, as we just finished just in my mind, but not relative to the time, that we just finished the armor of God in the book of Ephesians, and really going into prayer, thinking about the connection between why does Paul go from speaking about the armor of God then to speaking about prayer. And as we think about that, prayer really is us showing our utter dependence on God all the time. All the time. And we're just reminded that it doesn't matter what we know or what we think we know. It doesn't matter the years that we've been a Christian and how much we've grown. Those things do matter, don't misunderstand me. But we will never outgrow our need for God to work in our lives. We'll never outgrow that. We'll never get to the point where we can do it on our own. And praise God for that. Praise God that we will always need him. And Paul reminds us of that when we come to this area of prayer, thinking about the Christian warrior, the prayer of the Christian warrior, And really, we are called to be warriors. Just remind you that we are in a battle. We're in a battle all the time. Whether you choose to fight in that battle or not, you are in the midst of that battle. And if you are not fighting in the midst of that battle, you are losing in the midst of that battle. And so we're just reminded about that. And as we think about prayer, prayer is the key to standing firm during the spiritual conflict. Yes, we need to obey God and all that He commands. We need to put on the full armor. We need to prepare our hearts and our minds for the battle that God sets before us. But we need to be men and women of prayer. We need to realize that as we enter that battle and we fight that battle day in and day out, our own need and our own dependence on God and who He is. And if the believer is going to hold his or her ground as they face the struggles and the battle of the Christian life, if they're going to stand firm against the strategies of Satan and the temptations of the flesh, corruption of a sinful world that stands against God, then we must be people of prayer. We must be people of prayer. Paul follows his listing of the armor of God, which enables the believer to stand firm, with four key aspects. Four key exhortations about prayer. We looked at the first two. I'm going to remind you of what they were. First, the importance of it. The importance of it. That as we are engaged in spiritual conflict, as I've mentioned several times already this morning, we are dependent on God. We're dependent upon God. Prayer is an absolute necessity. It's an absolute necessity. Secondly, the manner of it. The things that we looked at in the text the last time I preached was here in Ephesians, it was that prayer ought to be comprehensive and spirit-controlled, vigilant, persistent. The prayer of the devoted follower of Christ who is seeking to stand firm should be characterized by these things. Today we'll continue by considering really two more aspects of prayer, and Paul's exhortation brings this out in this text. But let's look at our text, and I'm going to read the whole passage, that which we looked at last time and today, Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18 is where we'll start. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with the perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We have done a lot of things already this morning, and we've burnt through a lot of time. But as I was sitting down there and thinking about all the things, and one of the things that bothered me was I missed getting up and saying, good morning. So good morning. I was glad for Pastor to lead in the announcements, but it's weird, and probably for him too, as you're doing something that somebody else normally does and you're thinking through that. But really, as we think about prayer and what the Lord has for us in that and what He does through us in that and for us in it, it is amazing when you stop and think about the privilege of prayer. Think about who God is. And then think about who you are or I am. And really, apart from God's work, I have no right to approach God. No way to approach God. Nor would I ever have the desire to approach God. We learned that way back in the beginning of Ephesians. But God. And through the work of God, God not only gives us life where we only know death, He renews that heart. He teaches us to put off and to put on, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. But he gives us the ability and the opportunity to come before him and to bring not only our requests and our petitions before him, but really to be able to pray for one another. And Paul says here, in the third point, we've covered the first two last time, but the third point is the object of that prayer. And as we think about the object of that prayer, it is interesting to me that Paul says in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to the end, to keep alert with the supplication to the end, to keep alert with the supplication, and with all perseverance, making supplication for all, what? The saints. Sorry, my eyes weren't dropping a line. With all the saints. It's a really important line. Notice the object of the prayer. It's all the saints. And then Paul says also for me in the next verse that the prayers of the Christian warrior are not just for themselves. But there's this obligation to pray for all the saints, the obligation to pray for one another. As we face the rigors of the battle, Hodge in his commentary in Ephesians, he writes this. He says, no soldier entering the battle prays for himself alone, but for all of his fellow soldiers also. They form one army, and the success of one is the success of all. As I think about that point, we do not stand alone against the attacks of the enemy, but we stand together. We are to support each other, to encourage each other in prayer. We must be sensitive to the condition of our fellow soldiers. Pray for their needs. Pray for their strength. Pray that they would stand firm. Pray that they would utilize the armor that God has given of truth and righteousness and peace and faith, salvation and the word. It is so easy for us to become preoccupied with our own concerns and that we can neglect our brothers in prayer. And I would even pose the question to you this morning as you think about this, as you look around this room and you think about who else is sitting in your row or on your side or on the other side across from you. And you think about and you look around and you see faces and names and families. How often this week did you pray for them? How often this week have you brought them before the Lord? And what have you prayed for? Hopefully we're at least doing that as prayer requests go out on the prayer chain. We're praying for families that have needs. Maybe there's a brother or sister who shared a specific need with you that's happening in their life and you've been praying for that this week. I know several of you do. But just in general, how have you prayed for your fellow soldiers this week? For those that are sitting around you right now, being renewed in their mind through the Word of God. How have you taken them before God? How have you asked God to work in their life? How have you asked God to meet their needs and their struggles and their weaknesses? How have you asked God to use their strengths and their gifts? We become so preoccupied with what is going on in our own lives. We're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. Sometimes it's like I have these blinders on and the only thing I can see is the fight that I see right in front of me. And I miss what's happening in the bigger picture of things. And I miss what God is doing because God is working in the big picture. He's working in the little picture, I get that. But the little picture is part of the big picture. How have we prayed for one another this week? How have we lifted one another up? And don't misinterpret what I'm saying or what I mean to imply here. I think it is important. We do need to pray for our own needs, and we do need to petition the Lord that we might stand firm. But we must not neglect the ministry of the prayer for other brothers and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. They face the same battles you do. They face the same weariness you do. They face the same struggles in their home that you face. They might look a little different. But one of the things you'll find as you start talking with other families in the church, and that personal relationship begins to grow to the point where you do share the strengths, the weaknesses, the struggles. But I'm not alone in that struggle. I'm not alone in that battle. They've gone through that. They've faced that. Or they are facing that. How have we prayed? Also, notice, Paul requests prayer for himself. And I would submit to you that that's not unusual. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, "Brethren, pray for us." Paul asks the Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2, he starts off by, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." And he says here in this text, "And also for me," in verse 19, "that words may be given to me in opening my mouth." In principle, we see another group from among the saints that we must pray for. Paul is bringing this out, and really, we must think about spiritual leadership, those in ministry. Paul knew that being on the front lines as an apostle, as one engaged in ministry, Paul knew that he needed the prayers of the saints. He needed them to pray. And he asked several times in many of his letters, "Please pray for us." In whatever capacity that was. 2 Corinthians 1:11 says, "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." Paul recognized the importance of prayer for the effectiveness of the ministry that the Lord had called him to. God used the prayers of others as a means for bestowing favor upon him and those who have served with him. And I would just say to you this morning that Paul is not alone in his need for prayer as he ministers for the Lord. Pastors need your prayer. They need the prayers of your people. They need the prayers of their people. Sunday school teachers need your prayer. Youth leaders and workers need your prayer. Children's ministry. We just had Kids for Truth program on Wednesday night, if you were able to come out for that. The workers who work in that ministry need your prayer. And the list goes so on and on and on and on. The people who play the piano and the organ, the people who lead the music, the people who run the sound booth, the people who clean the church, the people who, I mean, we could carry on. There's so many people who serve in so many different ways. Need our prayers. One of the things that I have appreciated in the time that I've been here is getting together with Pastor on Sunday mornings and just praying together. There's only been a few times that we've missed that. Most of them is when he leaves or I leave on vacation. But one of the things that I enjoy about that time is we pray together for our own need for God to work in our hearts and lives. We pray for you. We pray that God would do a work in your heart and life and help you to be led in worship that day. We pray for the one who's leading, those who are leading in the different areas of ministry that day, songs, accompaniment, teachers. Just lifting one another up and asking God. Because the reality is that we continually need to be reminded, and we are reminded, even through our lives and our circumstances in our life, of our constant dependence on God. Like, God, we want to come before you today, and we want to rightly worship you, but I desperately need your help if that's going to happen. I need your spirit to control my heart and my thoughts. I need your word to fill. I need your truth to come out of me, to live in me, if you are going to be rightly worshiped. The reality is I need Greg to be out of the way and for God's work to be done if he is going to be worshiped. And so as we think about that, how have you, again, prayed for not only one another, but how do you pray for ministry leaders? How do you pray for those leading in your church? Paul recognized the importance of the effectiveness of prayers. We often think about what the church needs, and oftentimes if we talk about it, we think we need more bodies, more flesh and blood, more money, time to do more things, new ideas, new strategies to carry on more programs. But I would suggest that we need to stop and think. What the church really needs is more of the people she has spending more of their time in fervent prayer for the ministries that she already has and is doing. For those who serve in those ministries. And I dare say that if we would spend more time on our knees pouring our hearts out before God, we would see God work in and through what and who he's already given to us. One of the ways we pray on Wednesday night, if you do not come out to the Wednesday night service, and I'll just say it, many of you don't. Well, one of the ways we pray on Wednesday night is on that prayer sheet, it is broken down, and we pray through the different areas of the church. We pray for the different ministries and ministry leaders. We pray for the church in the area of evangelism. We pray for the church in the area of finances. We pray for the church in the area of unity and so on. Pastor has all those sections broke down, and it's really, really helpful. It's a way that we can gather together and pray for the body. And then a little higher on that sheet above the church, the prayer for the church, we have prayer for our members. And each week there's new names on the sheet. And he just goes right through the membership list, and we're praying for the members. What a joy to be able to be reminded and to do that. If you were here at the beginning of the year or have been here at the beginning of the year for the last 3 years, I think it is, you received a prayer journal. If you weren't here, there's prayer journals out there in the lobby. You can still grab one. And in that prayer journal is listed all the ministries of the church. Praying for the ministries, praying for the ministry leaders. There's listed all of the members of the church. All of the missionaries of the church that we support are all in that prayer journal. It's a way that we can do this. Be faithful to this command and praying for one another. Lifting one another up. Praying for the ministries, praying for God to work in and through Sunrise Bible Church. I do hope that we keep those who are involved in serving Christ always in our prayers, on our prayer lists. Pray that God would strengthen them to serve, that God would give them wisdom, that God would give them courage, that God would bless the ministries as they minister to the body, and they would honor God in what they do for him. And what they do for him. Notice Paul is not asking for any specific personal requests. He's asking that God's work would be done through him and that God would give him the strength and the boldness to do that. And the last point that I want to bring out here this morning, we see in verses 19 and 20, and that is some vital purposes of prayer. I want to look really at two of them, some vital purposes of prayer. Let's look at our text, verse 19. It says, and also for me that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Certainly, when we pray for one another, there is no restriction to the needs that we might pray for. It is a joy to pray for one another. And it is a joy, as I mentioned in the beginning, that as you and I, God, by God's grace, he's given us the right to approach him at the throne of grace and bring our prayers and our petitions, our requests, all to him. But as we can pray for one another, the opportunity to pray for one another, the opportunity that I have and that you have to lift someone up, When someone calls you and tells you, or you hear a prayer change request comes out, and there's a request on there, and you're like, your heart drops, and you wish in the worst way that you could fix something for that person, that you could make a really bad situation better, and you can't. There's nothing that you can do to change their situation oftentimes. There's nothing you can do that's going to make that better. When I show up at a chaplain call and some family members just died, and there's nothing that I can say to that family member that's going to make that better. There's nothing I can do, no matter how bad I want to. But you know what I can do? I can go before the all-wise God, an all-sovereign God, a God who orchestrates every circumstance in our lives. And I can pray for them, knowing full well that that God will accomplish his will in their life. You and I have that right. You have that opportunity. And that's what Paul is saying here, is you and I can have this privilege to pray for one another. And I hope that even in Paul's words, you understand the privilege that it is. Don't say things like, and I've said this, I'm sorry I can't do anything, but I'll at least pray for you. Don't diminish the power of God through prayer. It reflects sometimes our own forgetfulness or our own thinking about prayer and the privilege that God has given us. Here in this last point, I'd like to take just a note and consider Paul's request to his readers, these believers, as he asked them to pray on his behalf. In other words, what is the purpose of their prayers for him? That words may be given, that I may speak boldly. He mentions two vital purposes of their prayers. First, the opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Paul doesn't ask that they pray for his success. He asks that they pray for opportunity for him to speak the truth of the gospel. His desire is that he will have a chance to clearly present the truth about Jesus Christ and who he is. His desire is for God to give him the right words to say, and he wants his proclamation to be God's wisdom and not his own. That's the reason why Pastor and I pray every Sunday, God, we need your help. If we, as your people, we, as your church, not just we as pastors, we are worshipers with you, if we are going to worship God rightly. And Paul recognizes his own need for that help, and he wants his proclamation to be God's wisdom. And notice also, he asked them to pray for something else, and that is the boldness to proclaim the gospel. Paul desired not only the opportunity, but he also wanted God to give him the courage, the zeal, the boldness to speak when he ought to speak. 1 Thessalonians 2:2 says, "But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel in the midst of much conflict." The point is this: Paul was well aware of his frailty. He was well aware of his human weakness. He continually sought the strength of God to embolden him to speak the gospel and to proclaim the truth. Paul asked the Ephesians to pray that he might have the boldness to speak when God gives him the chance. And I would remind you that what makes Paul's request even more astounding is to consider his situation. Remind you that Paul's writing from prison in Rome under house arrest. He's confined in chains. Most likely he's been tethered to a Roman guard, and yet he still prayed for the opportunity to proclaim the truth. He prayed for the boldness and the courage to proclaim the gospel. The limitations of his circumstances did not change his passion. It did not change his desire for proclaiming the wondrous gospel of Christ. He did not ask the Ephesians to pray that God would change his circumstances. He asked them to pray that God would give him the opportunity and the boldness to speak where he was. Does that challenge you? Because I can tell you it challenges me. What do we usually do? What is the first thing we want to do? We look at our circumstances and we want our circumstances to change. I don't like this. I don't like what's happening right now, and I don't like how it's happening, and I don't want to be here, and I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want it to go this way. And how do all those phrases start? I, right? But Paul, he did not ask the Ephesians to pray that God would change his circumstances. He asked them to pray that God would give him the opportunity and the boldness to speak where he was. Well, you might be saying to yourself, or maybe you've said this in the past, well, you just don't understand. You just don't know my situation. It's just a bit different. If I had a different kind of job, if I lived in a different place, you just don't know my neighbor. If I didn't have so many kids, that one's in there for Pastor and Casey. No, just kidding, it's not. If I didn't have to work so many hours, if my health were better, if I didn't live so far from the church, if I had more contact with people, and really the reasons go, the if statements go on and on and on, then I could really do something for the Lord. Then, yes, I would ask, as Paul asked, for boldness and the opportunity. If it was just a little different, you just don't understand my situation, then I could witness to people. And if we found ourselves ever saying something like that, I would say to you and I, shame on us. And I would remind us that Paul was in prison, chained to a guard, when he prayed these prayers. He may have only seen one or two people every week, but he still asked for boldness and opportunity. He may not have gotten out for weeks or months, and yet he wanted the opportunity and the boldness to speak when the opportunity came. And I would say that we are too often too concerned about our circumstances or our situation, and not concerned enough about the opportunities that God might give us to serve him in those very circumstances where he has us. And when we do get the opportunity, we too often lack boldness and courage. Let's face it, we cannot change the situation that God's providence and sovereignty has placed us in. Lord knows I've wanted to, but I can't. I'd be lying to you if I said I've enjoyed every situation the Lord's had me in. And so would you. But we can't change those situations. We need to pray, and whatever our circumstances are, that God would give us the chance, that God would give us the opportunity, is what I mean by chance, that we would see, and that we would see those opportunities, and that we would not ignore them. That we would not ignore them. That we would seek them out. Then that he would give us the boldness to speak and to proclaim the truth about him and about Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little example that I was thinking about as I was writing some notes here. The simple opportunity that's coming up in a park like National Night Out. I love to see us as a church in the park here in Sunrise and in town in North Ranch last year. I love to see people from our church just walking around and mingling with people in their community. People that we live with, people that we're called to love, people that we're called to share the gospel with, people that we ought to be praying for, even if we don't know their names. We pray for them. We ask God to work in their lives. We ask God to work in their hearts. And maybe you've come to help, but you're not sure. You're not sure that you really want to put yourself out there and start a conversation with that stranger. I'm not sure that once that conversation starts, what am I going to say? Where's that going to go? Some of you don't have a problem with that. I drive my family crazy in that because I talk to everybody. I will be done talking to somebody. My family will go, "How do you know them?" I say, "I don't." Well, you talk to them like you knew them. I just talked to them. Well, first time I went down to see Liam and Alyssa in Kansas, we were walking through a park, and I was saying hi to everyone I passed, and no one said hi back to me. And Liam's like, "We don't do that here." Just wanted to talk to somebody. Wanted to start a conversation. And I got cold all the way through that park. But asking God, that as we're walking around, as we have the opportunity, there's opportunities. You're walking through a park on National Night Out, there's opportunity all around you. There's opportunity everywhere. And will we take those opportunities? Will we walk up to somebody and say, "Hi, I'm Greg. We have a booth right over here from Sunrise Bible Church. So glad you're here tonight." And just start a conversation. We don't get to share the gospel every time in all those conversations, but we ought to pray for every one of those conversations that we get to share the gospel. We get to tell somebody about Jesus. Maybe it's as we meet a child and we hand them a VBS card. Maybe it's the mother of that child who's been worried about the spiritual well-being of her child. And who knows but that God might use that simple boldness of one of us to simply walk up and hand out a card as the first step of reaching someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, I didn't ask Pastor about this, but I just did it. Yesterday, I went online and I ordered balloons with our church logo on them. And my plan is at Sunrise Night Out and National Night Out, covers both of them, is to hand those out and attach cards to the ribbons. Just trying to think of ways, little things that help us to start conversations with people. It's an inexpensive thing. It doesn't cost much. But it's just a way to start a conversation. What kid doesn't like a balloon filled with helium? I didn't say what parent. I said what kid. Let me remind you, 2 Thessalonians, I need to finish up here. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among us." Was Paul's direct concern success? No, it wasn't. He didn't pray that God would make him successful. Was it his direct concern, immediate concern about church growth and numbers? No. He wanted the church to grow, but his concern was that the church would grow and that the church would go in God, in Christ, and then it would go forth. For it is the word which the Lord uses to reach others. Is that your desire? Is that what you pray for? Is that how you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Is that how you pray for your family, for your own opportunities? The vital purpose and prayer of a Christian soldier is to pray for himself and for others for the opportunities and the boldness to speak for Christ. A British soldier was caught one night creeping stealthily back to his quarters. and from the nearby woods, and he was taken in before the commanding officer, and he was immediately charged with communicating with an enemy. And the man pleaded that he had done nothing like that, that he had gone into the woods by himself to pray, and that was his only defense. And the officer growled at him and hollered at him, and he says, "Have you been in the habit of spending hours in private prayer?" He said, "Yes, sir, I have been." And he immediately ordered him, then he said, "Get down on your knees and pray now, soldier. You never needed it so much," he told him. Expecting immediate death, the soldier knelt and he poured out his soul in prayer in such an eloquent, spirit-filled manner that the officer said to him, "You may go. I believe your story." Because he said, if you hadn't been often at drill, you couldn't have done so well in review. And I wonder if we were drilled right now about how we pray for one another, how that review would go for us. I just want to remind us this morning, as I think Paul does here, that prayer is vital for the Christian soldier to stand firm for Christ. We must recognize the importance of it, the manner of it, the object of it, ourselves and others and spiritual leaders, some vital purposes of it, the opportunity and the boldness to speak in that opportunity, the truth of the gospel. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what our situation, that we may speak God's words to others. May all these things characterize our prayer. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for these reminders. Thank you for the challenge to my own heart from this text, my own life. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share this challenge here this morning. Lord, may your words, may they cause us to pause and to think, to examine. Lord, may there are some in here who are so faithful in the area of prayer. They're faithfully praying for others. It comes out of them in conversation when you talk to them. They're faithfully praying for opportunities for the gospel. And they're not only faithfully praying that for others, they're doing that in their own lives. God, we praise you for how you are working in their lives. Lord, there are some in this room who we would admit that this has been a struggle, that we're not so good at this, and that we, if we're caught as the soldier was and commanded to immediately pray, the review might not go so well. And Lord, may we be encouraged today to take even some small steps to strengthen this area in our lives. Not that men would know we're doing it, but that we would please you and honor you with our obedience. That we would please you and honor you as you do a work in our lives, and ultimately, Lord, and especially in the body of Christ. We pray for your church to be strengthened. We pray for your church to have courage and boldness, that we may be faithful and praying for opportunities, seeking the opportunities, and have the courage in taking the opportunities to share about our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to share about the gospel, to share about the God who did a work in our own lives, in our own church, and Lord, that you are still doing that work today. Lord, we are reminded again through this text, it is all you. It is all for your glory. And Lord, I thank you that you have sought fit to mold us and shape us, to change us, to give us life, that we might, and have a small part in your plan and your will. Thank you, God, for working in and through us to accomplish your will. May we be found faithful in this area of prayer. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.